As advertised, our gospel lesson comes from the baptism of Jesus. This one is recorded in all four gospels, and this is from the Gospel of Mark. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Friends, this is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's unusual for us to have the baptismal renewal and communion on the same Sunday, so I have to keep checking the bulletin to see what's next. But that's exciting. It adds a little bit of excitement to things. I'm not always totally certain that we fully understand baptism, and so it's helpful for us to have this type of service of renewal. And I'm not clear if we understand the transforming power that baptism can have for us or for future generations, that they wouldn't understand it. I'm going to share with you a story the pastor related, and I promise you this is a true story. A mother was at home with her two young daughters one lazy afternoon. Everything seemed just fine until the mother realized something strange. The house was quiet. As every parent knows, a quiet house in the daytime could only mean one thing. The kids are up to something. Quietly walking into each of the girls' rooms and not finding them there, she started to get worried. And then she heard it, a sound of whispering, followed by the flushing of a toilet. Following the sound, she soon realized where it was coming from. It was coming from her bathroom. Whispers, flush. Whispers, flush. Whispers, flush. So she poked her head into the room, and she was able to see both of her daughters. Then they were standing over the toilet. Whispers, then flush. And one of them was holding a dripping Barbie doll by the ankles, and the other one had her finger on the handle. Whispers, flush. She wanted to hear what her daughter was saying, so she slipped quietly into the room and listened. Whispers, flush. And this is what she heard. "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son, and in the hole you go." Flush. Well, you know, as we read Scripture, what happened right after Jesus' baptism? He was driven out, sent out into the wilderness by the Holy Ghost to face 40 days of total fasting and then temptation. So maybe "into the hole you go" makes some theological sense. Sometimes we feel that way ourselves in life. So, okay, Baptism of the Lord Sunday. What is so special about this Sunday? Well, as we said, we're in the Christian season of Epiphany, and that means the appearing or the appearance or manifestation of Jesus as the Christ. And so that was an aha experience for the world 2,000 years ago, and it's an aha experience even today. As we began this season on the sixth day of January, yesterday, with the manifestation, the appearing of Jesus to the nations with the three kings, the three magi, the wise ones from the east. Well, that aspect then touches briefly upon the universality of Jesus. But after that, after the three magi appear and see Jesus, he was about 2 years old probably at that time, there's this very large gap between the birth of Jesus in Matthew and Luke's gospel and then the beginning of his public ministry when he's about 30 years old. Big gap. And so suddenly, Jesus, after all this time, appears at the Jordan River, where there's this wild-behaviored guy named John the Baptist who's baptizing people who are coming there in enormous crowds so that they can repent, they can turn around from their sins. And the water that John pours on their heads, or perhaps submerges them in the river, is a symbol of purification. Now, all of this was happening in a shallow and barren stretch of the Jordan River that's just north of the Dead Sea. I've been there, I've seen it. It's very dry and rocky, but it's not very far from the Essene community, the Qumran community, as it was called, on the banks of the Dead Sea. These were people, a group of people who expected that there was going to be an imminent cataclysmic end of the world and God was going to purify all of the repentant and that then the expected Messiah would suddenly appear. And in the Qumran community, where John the Baptist probably had a connection, if he didn't indeed even live in the Qumran community, this is where the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. People there in Qumran, again, I've been there and I've seen all the excavated houses. Every house had a ritual bath in it, a mikvah, so that the people there were constantly purifying themselves with water as they were preparing themselves for this sudden appearance that they expected of God. So John the Baptist's baptism of people in the river was for people who were earnestly seeking to find themselves acceptable to God. So why is Jesus, this sinless Son of God, now coming to John for baptism? Remember, even John, in some of the other accounts, says that he doesn't feel worthy to baptize Jesus. And he even says that maybe Jesus should baptize him. Well, Jesus came because after Jesus was baptized, baptism became something different than just purification. Now, it still has a strong element of changing one's life, of giving up harmful or sinful behaviors, and turning, shuv in the Hebrew, turning to the ways of God's healing love. But it's something much, much more after Jesus is baptized. Instead of just being an action that is done, and then you're covered, like having your hand stamped with ink when you go out from the fairground so you can come back in. No, baptism is the beginning of a new life. It's the embrace of a community of love and ministry. That's why we baptize babies, because we embrace them into the community of love and ministry. Baptism is a welcome home to the spiritual fellowship of the spiritual body of Christ in the world. That's a tall order. So we don't always get that, do we? At how big and universal baptism is meant to be. Consider this account from a church down in New Orleans. I'm Southern, so I know how to say it. It's New Orleans. It was at the St. Charles Avenue Christian Church, which is affiliated with the Disciples of Christ denomination. And they had a very serious fire one time in their sanctuary. In the pre-dawn darkness after the fire, after it was extinguished, the assistant fire chief, who happened to be a Roman Catholic, wandered into the church to inspect the damage. He was looking upward at the ceiling with a flashlight, and he failed to notice where he was stepping. And suddenly, he tripped over something, and he fell headlong into the church's baptistry. Now, ironically, and thankfully for him, it had been filled up with water from the fire hoses. Now, he pulled himself out, and the assistant fire chief stumbled and sputtered to the street. He noticed the fire department chaplain, who was a Catholic priest, coming by, and he said, "Father, who are the people that are at that church?" And the chaplain replied, "Well, they're the disciples of Christ." And the chief, still soaking from his plunge in the baptistry, replied, "Well, Father, I don't know anything about them, but it looks like I'm one of them now." So it's not just about being done. That does make us laugh. But you know, I have from time to time gotten calls from young parents who think that they need to urgently have their newborn child done. No, really, right away, to have them done. I've looked in the Presbyterian Book of Order, I've looked in Scripture, and I cannot find the term done connected with baptism. So maybe they meant begun. Because from that beginning, there's a lifelong process of knowing God and of loving God and accepting love from God and showing God to others and experiencing God through others, all in the midst of God's people, which is the church, and that is us. You know, children understand this. They understand baptism. A little girl was busy painting a picture in a church school, and her teacher said, "Dear, what are you painting?" And she said, rather matter-of-factly, "I'm painting a picture of God." And the teacher said, "But nobody knows what God looks like." And the child's response was quite emphatic and logical. "They will when I finish my painting." Children understand this. What a powerful image that should be for us. We need to realize that what we do together in ministry, what we say and what we share in faith, what we risk and what we commit to the ways of God's love and peace in a world that rarely turns to a loving God, these are the paints with which the newly baptized paint their picture of God. When people feel that God is not near them in times of trouble or heartbreak, they still can certainly see and experience other Christians near them displaying and witnessing to the love that God still has for them and instills in us. When no one cares, when no one opens a door of encouragement or assistance, our actions, motivated by the faith that we have in God through Christ, symbolized by our baptism, it's our actions that are the finger paints that are wiped on the canvas of human existence. Someone that I love always listening to was the speaker, sociologist, very wonderful Christian teacher, Tony Campolo, amazing person. And as he will readily say, he is 100% Italian, and he shows it when he's speaking. He doesn't just talk. He sometimes yells, and he waves his hands all over the place. Well, Tony was once talking to a missionary friend who worked in Pakistan, a place where Christianity is rather scarce. And the friend explained that the first time that he baptized someone who had converted to Christianity, that the young man bolted up out of the water and immediately yelled, "Hallelujah!" And then he ran to his friends who had witnessed his baptism. He grabbed them by the hands, and they wildly danced for joy in the streets. Now, onlookers were sure that all of these actions were an essential part of a Christian baptism. And so from that day on, he says that every time a new person was baptized there, that they immediately would jump out of the water, scream hallelujah, grab people, and dance all over the town. Well, it's time to dance. Folks, it's time to dance. If not with our feet, it's time for us to dance with our hearts and for us to lead others in that dance. Because baptism is about celebrating the love of God freely given. It's about celebrating the care of community that reflects a selfless grace. It's about celebrating the hope of spirit that stays strong no matter what hole life throws us into. So when you choose your shell today, as a symbol of Christian baptism, renewing your own baptismal vows, or if you've never been baptized, symbolizing the baptism that you may choose someday to receive, think of it not as an event that only happens once. Think of it as a beginning. This is the paint with which your picture of God is painted. This is the music of the dance that brings neighbors and generations together for worship and ministry. This is the refreshing, cleansing water that is a rebirth of joy. So come to the water and be washed anew in the grace of Jesus Christ. Begin your painting of God so that others will know at least something of what God looks like, because you can finish that painting. Let us be in prayer. Good and gracious God, only you can bring order out of chaos in our lives and in our world. We lift up to you all that is unsettled in our own lives. We trust that your purposes for us are good and are life-giving. We lift up to you all who are suffering the effects of chaos and dislocation and hurt in our world. Bring them comfort. Bring them hope. Bring them restoration. And move us to be your hands and your feet in the world, bearing witness to your good, life-giving purpose for all of your creation, through the one whose baptism brings us our own to bring order and hope to our tossed about lives. Amen.